Welcome to the podcast of the Student Christian Movement. SCM is a community of students, past and present, and it is community that is at the heart of who we are and how we do things. Based in the UK, our vision of SCM is as a generous community, expressing a lived faith in Jesus Christ where social action meets prayerful devotion. We seek to be both a radical voice for equality and justice, and a safe home for progressive Christian students. Hello and welcome to the SCM podcast on tour, and we are currently sitting in Parliament Square, and by we I mean myself and Phoebe. We're at the No Faith in Fossil Fuels vigil along with a number of other Christian organisations. So Phoebe, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. Suffering with a cold, but other than that I'm very well.
Well, fortunately, it's not too cold outside today, and we've got little tiny stools to sit on, so we're fairly comfortable here in Parliament Square. But for this event, what is it, and why are we here, and what's it for?
So the No Faith in Fossil Fuels vigil is a 10-day, 24-hour kind of prayer relay, I suppose, where we are sitting outside Parliament during Lent, holding time, space and prayer in a way to combat fossil fuels and protest against climate change.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think it's really important to have a Christian witness of some kind that is not just going out in the streets and I suppose the conventional sense of protest, but actually having this spiritual form of protest where what we're doing is we're offering prayer, we're offering a time and space of silence outside of Parliament and a space for people to reflect. And even just as we're sitting here right now, there's lots of people walking past and looking at the signs that are here and the banners that are here and wondering what is going on. So with obviously the blog series that you've been doing that's looking at like creative protests and things like that, how effective do you think this type of protest is compared to a conventional go marching in the street type of protest? That's a big question, but
yeah, thanks for catching me out with that one. I'd say that the reason this form of protest can be really powerful and effective is because we're right in the centre of London, so it's a really busy space, there's a lot of hustle and bustle around, but we're holding a stillness and a kind of peace here, which you don't always see with protests. You imagine kind of angry marches and that kind of thing. So holding that space and that stillness actually has a very powerful way of catching people's eyes. And because we're not moving, people can come over, they can read the information we've got, they can look at the banners, they can scan the QR code that you so beautifully made. And that's a really powerful thing, and people can join in and they can sit for an hour, or they can sit for 5 minutes, or they can sit for, if they really want to, 10 days, day and night. So that kind of relay of people taking over responsibility is a very powerful thing.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that it highlights, because it's happening over the 10 days, there's lots of different organisations that are involved, is the fact that, like, on our own, we won't be able to deal with the climate crisis. It is necessary to work together. And a big part of this is the fact that I can't physically be here for the full 10 days. I know that you can't either. But collectively, when we come together with all of these different organisations, we are able to hold this presence here for this period at the start of Lent. And obviously, it is the start of Lent, a very important time in the Christian calendar. So do you see there being any sort of link or connection between the themes of Lent and the climate crisis? Or why do you think it's important as Christians that we care about the climate crisis?
So I think in terms of the connection between Lent and the vigil we're holding now, both feel like a time for getting ready and sitting and waiting and being still and having that reflection feels like we're getting ready and preparing the world and ourselves to take action and begin acting for the climate crisis. And in terms of the importance of being Christians here, I think when you have a kind of deep-rooted connection to the earth and the beauty of the creation of the earth, it becomes our duty and our responsibility to begin working to encourage others and ourselves to protect it.
Yeah, I like what you said there about, like, as a form of preparation in the way that Lent is for preparing for Easter and, like, obviously the Passion and the resurrection of Jesus. And similarly, a big part of what's necessary as Christians and as societies when it comes to the climate crisis is recognizing the state that we're actually in and no longer denying how dire, like, the current situation is when it comes to politics, when it comes to governmental action on climate change. It really is necessary that we recognize and prepare ourselves for the necessary work that is going to come from governments, from individuals, from communities, to be able to actually tackle the climate crisis in any way that is adequate. But yeah, I think that's a really good point. So Phoebe, thank you again for coming on the podcast. I know you were on recently for the Craftivism episodes, but I will be speaking to some other people today, so will you, and we'll include them in this podcast. So thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was Phoebe. There are a couple of other conversations that we're going to hear now, the first of which is Phoebe talking to Sarah from Just Money. If you haven't already seen it, then Phoebe's been working on a series of blogs about switching banks. One of the things that we can do as individuals to tackle the climate crisis is consider where we put our money, where our pensions are, because a lot of big banks and pension organizations will often be investing in fossil fuels or in the arms trade. And by moving our money, we can act more justly as individuals and put pressure on these organizations to move away from investing in fossil fuels. If you haven't read the blog, then it is on our website and it gives a 4-week plan as to how you can switch banks and where you can find out about which banks are investing in more ethical industries and ethical solutions for the climate crisis. I will be leaving a link to this blog post in the show notes for this episode, as well as a link to Just Money's website. So if after hearing Phoebe speaking to Sarah, you're interested in the work that Just Money does, then make sure you head to the show notes and follow the link to find out more. One of the things that I loved about the No Faith in Fossil Fuels video was that despite it being an act of prayer outside of Parliament, everyone that was there was not just interested in only praying, but were also concerned with taking action. And you'll hear that come through quite clearly in this conversation between Phoebe and Sarah.
Hello, we are here at the No Faith in Fossil Fuels vigil today with Sarah from the Just Money movement. Why is it important that Just Money are here today?
Just Money Movement's really pleased to be part of the vigil, standing in solidarity with other Christians, calling out to God in prayer for the climate crisis and to decision makers as well, to take action to protect our created world and to tackle climate change.
So how easy is it to switch to an ethical bank?
It's surprisingly easy to switch your bank account. Lots of us have been with the same bank since we were students or even children, haven't really thought about it, but you can go online, you can go to Just Money's website, the big bank switch, find all the information that you need and make the switch, and you can do it in just a few minutes actually.
I can confirm I didn't even finish my cup of tea before I finished switching, so it is very easy. And finally, what has banking got to do with fossil fuels?
So banks invest and lend trillions of pounds to the fossil fuel industry, so they're really funding the climate crisis. So if we care about climate change, we need to think about where our money is sitting, what it's supporting, and take action, take a form of protest by switching our bank accounts and stand up for a greener, fairer future.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was Sarah and Phoebe. Next, we're going to be hearing from Melanie, who is part of Christian Climate Action and Green Christian. Melanie gives some great examples of why, as Christians, we should be partaking in action on the climate crisis, and also the place of prayer within that action. And this is really a discussion not about prayer for God to swoop in and act on our behalf, but rather recognizing that prayer can act as a form of lamentation and repentance, especially in regards to the climate crisis. For more on this, we have a blog from last year that was on mourning Rosebank. Rosebank is an oil field off the north coast of Scotland, and the government approved plans for oil and gas expansion there. In that blog, we explore the themes of lament and repentance when it comes to the climate crisis. And so I will leave a note of that in the show notes as well, if you would like to go away and read some more on the place of lament and repentance in regards to the climate crisis, and also how we can integrate that into our prayer life and our Christian activism. So take a moment just now to listen to Melanie share some of her experience of the No Faith in Fossil Fuels vigil and some of her reflections on Christian climate activism. Hello, I am here with Melanie. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me today, Melanie. First of all, do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are, why you're here, and who you're with?
Yes, so I'm part of Christian Climate Action, but I also work with Green Christian, and they're two of the organisations that are involved in this. And I just think this is a really important and powerful thing to do. I think that we're really called as Christians to exercise a prophetic voice. You can see a really strong biblical narrative about standing up and speaking out against injustice. And this is what we're doing. We hope that by organising this vigil, we provide an opportunity for lots of Christians, ordinary people, to come and do exactly that, to stand on the street, to pray, and also to say, this is what we believe in. We believe in justice, God's justice. And to say to the government, you need to do something about that.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And I think doing it outside of Westminster as well. I mean, already we've seen that MPs are walking past as they go into work, and having that witness there is really important. So in terms of the days that you've been here so far for the vigil, what has been the engagement from the general public and from the press so far? Has there been good conversations that have come out around the vigil already?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of press engagement. What's been really surprising is that the more conservative press, the more right-wing press, has picked up on this. We don't usually get the story in there. And not only did GB News run it as a segment, but the Mail and the Express have also actually not just said, you know, these are protesters, but told the reason why we're here. And it reaches into new audiences, but there's been a lot of interest from passers-by as well. Last week was half term, and it was really, really lovely listening to young children say to their parents, what are they doing here? And parents explaining that we were praying for the climate. So I think people are really interested. They are wanting to know not only what we're doing, but they want change.
Yeah. I think it's also important to note that this is happening at the start of Lent, obviously a very significant time in the Christian calendar, as we prepare for the Passion, the resurrection of Jesus, and celebrating that moment. In that, there's a journey and a moment of recognising how we need to prepare for that moment. And I think similarly, when it comes to the climate crisis, it's necessary that we prepare and that we face the reality of the situation. And I think that's a big part of the witness that we offer today, is talking about the reality of the climate crisis, what's happening, and that as we pray, it's not in blind faith of some kind that God's going to swoop down and fix it all, but actually that we have a big part to play in that. So when it comes to being a Christian, why do you think it's important that we protest and act to do something when it comes to the climate crisis? Why should we as Christians be concerned about the climate crisis?
So I do think that prayer is at the root of everything that we do. But, I mean, we know that faith without deeds is dead. We need to act. and that action becomes fundamental part of our prayer life, of our calling as Christians to do something. And Lent is really important because it works this idea of lamentation and repentance. And interestingly, repentance is about repair. It's not just about saying sorry, it's about what you do to show that you are sorry. And then we come to this enormous celebration of rebirth and light, and we see the resurrected Christ. And I hope that this is what we're working towards in terms of the climate crisis, that we will see a real change in society, that we bring our values back to the heart, that we bring love back to the heart of humanity through what we do in our way we respond to the climate crisis.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for speaking to me today, Melanie. I've really appreciated that. Thank you. So in a moment, we are going to hear from Kate, and you'll be able to listen to her as she explains who she's here with and why she was at the No Faith in Fossil Fuel vigil. But one of the things that really stood out to me about Kate was that she had brought with her an icon of Mary, Mother of Jesus. And in that icon, Mary was depicted as an Indigenous woman sheltering endangered species of animals and protecting different groups of people. And behind Mary was a burning rainforest. And I thought it was a particularly powerful icon. And it's very relevant to a lot of what we have been doing here at SEM over the last couple of months with Phoebe's blog series on creative protest. And so what we want to do is, in the show notes, we're going to link to some of the blogs that we've put up about creative protest, because iconography and art serves as a way of protesting and acting as Christians that we can sometimes forget about. I mean, we will often remember about the different placards and signs that we will take with us on marches or to other conventional protests, but using religious art, something like iconography, is a very different form of protest. And for me, it was very powerful to see it in use in the context of the No Faith in Fossil Fuels vigil. So we're going to hear from Kate now, and she offers a really lovely prayer at the end of our conversation, so do take the time to engage with that. Okay, so I am here with Kate. Kate, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us who you're here with today and why you're here at the No Faith in Fossil Fuels vigil.
Hello, I'm Kate. I'm a member of Christian Climate Action, Catholics for Christian Climate Action, and the Laudato Si movement. And I'm also a member of a religious congregation, Missionary Sisters of St. Columban, or Columban Sisters. And I'm here today because our Mother Earth is crying out to us for all the harm we are doing to her, and we need to take urgent action right now to reverse what is happening.
That's great. And for people who haven't heard of it before, could you explain what Laudato Si is? Because I know that some of our followers will have heard of stuff like Christian Climate Action before and things like that, but for those who maybe aren't Catholic and aren't aware of Laudato Si, could you explain a little bit about what that is?
So in 2015, Pope Francis wrote a letter called Laudato Si, which means praise be. And it's taken from St. Francis of Assisi, his prayer, when he praised all the elements and the animals, praise to you, brother sun, sister moon, etc. And this letter is about talking about our Mother Earth, our common home, and all that we need to do to take care of her.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for explaining that. It's important, I think, that we're coming here during the season of Lent as well, especially. Why do you think that it's significant that we're holding this time of prayer and reflection together as Christians from lots of different denominations and traditions in the time of Lent?
Well, Jesus as we know, went out into the desert to pray for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, we're not managing 40 days and 40 nights, but we are managing 10 days and 10 nights between all of us. So he entered that time of deep prayer as he faced his mission, and we also, our world is facing, well, what is the world facing now? So we need to have this time of deep prayer, and what better time than the beginning of Lent?
Yeah, we definitely agree. And you don't have to for this, but if you would like to, would you like to offer a prayer for our listeners just now?
So, God, Father and Mother of all creation, you look on the world that you have made, and you saw that it was good. Help all of humanity alive at this time to realize the beauty and the wonder of your creation, and to come to a deep awareness of the destruction and damage that we are doing to it. And may all of us unite together, come together to protect our common home. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Kate. Well, I think those are some powerful words to ponder and to pray at this time. The climate crisis is a threat to all of us. It is a threat to our shared life together. No matter what our backgrounds, our faith, it threatens our very existence. And as Christians, it is necessary that we take action. And it is necessary that we call on those in power to do more. Phoebe and I were only able to attend one of the 10 days of the Lent vigil outside of Parliament. But there was a consistent Christian presence outside of Parliament for 10 days from Ash Wednesday until the 24th of February. And some may ask, what difference does it make to sit outside of Parliament and pray for 10 days? Well, there were a number of conversations that happened that were not recorded, and many people stopped to ask what it is that we were doing. And so in showing up faithfully in our presence, we do not know the number of lives that were impacted, the number of people that went home and thought about their role in tackling the climate crisis. And so may those conversations and those moments of interactions allow opportunities for God to move in us and in others as we act to ensure that life for all is a very real possibility in our future. Amen.